the podcast for all your running needs.
Ned, he was a terminally happy guy. And Ned, he ate a moldy pumpkin pie. And Ned, he thought that he just couldn't die. And Ned, he laughed so hard that made me cry.
Welcome to the Run Run Live podcast, the podcast for runners, wannabe runners and mid-packers of all shapes and sizes who just want to strap on their favourite pair of shoes and get out there and run. This is not Chris, your host, this is Nigel from Staffordshire in the UK. I'm the guest announcer this week, and when you're done listening to the Run Run Live podcast, come and visit me at runningfromthereaper.com. You can listen to my podcast and check out my running adventures over here in the UK. So, wherever and whenever this episode finds you, I hope you're doing great, and I hope you're getting your run in today. I know I'm getting my run in. You want to have some fun? Come on then, let's go for a run.
Hello and welcome to episode 75, has a nice ring to it, of the Run Run Live podcast. This is Chris, your host, and we've got a great show for you today. That was Nigel Runner, the famous Nigel Runner. If you want to know all about running podcasts, go to runningpodcast.org, Nigel's site, and you will find every running podcast under the sun. Today, on today's show, I'm going to interview Sarah Stanley, and she's one of our Twitter friends. And I started following Sarah because she's an ultra runner, and she's always in a great mood, in a positive mood. And she's a lovely young lady who's really committed to making the most out of life. We have a great talk. And if there are any young men out there who are looking for a challenging girlfriend, Sarah told me she's between boyfriends. So I got, well, she's got that going for her, too. One of the great things was she was touring as she was running a 50-mile race. And she was so laissez-faire about it that I almost didn't believe that she was actually out on the course, having, you know, done that myself. It's not something that you can be emotionally detached from enough to play with your phone anyhow. So the other thing is you want to listen through the end of the show today, because I've got something special from Iron Brandon, from Brandon's Marathon Podcast, that's going to raise your IQ and make you culturally significant. So stay in the show until the end. It's been raining here for 3 weeks straight, so we've just started ignoring it. I went out with Buddy the Wonder Dog and Devo early on Sunday and did like 14 or so miles, like two-plus hours on the trails. When I'm not training for specific running events, but I still want to maintain my fitness, I find that something in that range, that two-hour range, is good maintenance run. That's a good mile. I want to do that at least every 2 weeks. And it's long enough to put you on the other side of the glycogen wall, so that, you know, for a half an hour or so, you have to make your body remember how to burn fat and manage the wall. But it's not too long to actually hurt you. So I like doing that. So if you can manage 12, 14 miles, it's not that much of a leap to 26.2 from there, right? You're halfway there, and you won't have to start from scratch. So I'm doing fine. I apologize for my low energy level last week. I was feeling a little sick from the rain and everything, and battling some sort of allergy. I don't know what it was. Had some external stresses, so I promise not to let that happen again. Well, that's a tough promise to keep, huh? And listening to this next part, where I talk about my bikes, I realize I sound a lot like Brett from Zed and the Art of Triathlon. So see, this whole bike thing changes a guy. It changes you. It's evil. On with the show.
And now for the equipment check.
All right, so this is Chris. I'm going to put this down. Hope you can hear me. I'm getting farther away. I'm getting ready to go out on my bike, my mountain bike. And I have appropriated the screened-in porch from the family, and I have all my bike stuff out here. So I've got my road bike that I used to have from my triathlon days, and I also use it for commuting. I get that out here, my Fuji, with its pedals and shoes, because you need specific pedals and shoes to ride a bicycle, so you clip in, right? But I got my my mountain bike, which I just ended up cleaning over the weekend. Actually, my daughter helped me. And it takes a lot of work to clean a mountain bike. I mean, they have special tools and stuff, but I basically had to do a couple of toothbrushes and brushes and had to use a knife to pick individual strands of grass. Somehow I picked up a ton of grass in my cassette in the back gears, and it was all wrapped around the cassette. And I got this other theory that says you just ride with it, and it'll eventually emulsify. but that didn't work, so I had to get it out of there. Plus, it's all filled with grease and stuff, so I did that. It's all cleaned up and greased up. I'm supposed to do it. These guys do it every time they ride. I just don't know how they do it. You know, it probably took me an hour and a half. So I got, what else have I, so this whole mountain bike thing is all, and biking in general, it's all about equipment. It's crazy. So I'm putting on my other shoes, which I had to buy for my mountain bike, and I had to buy pedals too. I have a set of Welgo pedals, clip-ins, and a pair of SETI shoes, which are pretty good. I mean, I like being clipped in. These shoes are real heavy for running, so when I do the hike-a-bike in the Ultra, which is call it what they call it when you got to get off your bike and push it, it's going to be a little uncomfortable. And they fill up with mud, and then the clip-ins don't work. So all that's all fun stuff. Of course, I got a new helmet, right? I need a helmet. Got to protect the squash. I managed to reuse my road bike biking gloves that I had from the old days, but they're a little, getting a little worn from all the suicide gripping I do on my mountain bike as I'm plummeting to my death down steep ravines and things like that. Got my helmet here. I already broke my helmet. I crashed into a tree. Well, sort of a stone wall and a tree, but, you know, that's why you have a helmet, right? And, of course, I had to buy some 3-in-1 professional heavy-duty degreaser to get the grease out, because you have to degrease. And, of course, there's special grease you got to put back on, and that's it's called Pedro's. Pedro's, and it's not oil-based. It's not like the old, you know, oil can we used to as we were kids. There's special stuff you got to put on, clear grease, once you're done cleaning that. And, of course, I have a gel seat cover that I put on so I don't have to worry about my bum. I think I picked up my first saddle sore last week because I rode like 4 nights in a row. Anthony says I don't need any special lube for that. I can just use my regular running lube, my Aquaphor, for that. So I'm going to give that a try tonight, see how that goes. I got my gel seat cover to sort of protect my personal bits here. And, of course, I managed to reuse a couple of old bottles. I didn't have to buy any bottles, and I managed to scrounge another bottle holder for this bike. But I did get from Anthony a Camelback, but it was because a friend of his who's a real biker won it for winning a race and wanted to get rid of it, so he gave me the Camelback. Well, it's a North Face water pack, hydration pack, nice one. And he also gave me a pump with it, because you need a pump. What else have I accumulated? Oh, I also have the rescue tool. And various parts of bicycles are, like, accumulating out here, too. I have the rescue tool, which is a little handheld tool about the size of, you know, a small person's fist, which has a tool for everything you'd ever possibly want to do on a bike. You know, take it all apart, put it all back together, break the chain, all that stuff. So you're supposed to carry that with you. So you get in trouble, you can fix your bike. Of course, I've got a number of greasy towels hanging about. All the brushes, a big bucket full of greasy water. And also, they're running a special on tubes and tires, so I bought 2 new tires and 5 new tubes. So, you know, this whole biking thing is about stuff. I like minimalism, and I find I'm violating a lot of my rules here with my clutter accumulation. So I'm going to go for a ride tonight. It's raining, but what the hell. It looks like it stopped. It's just wet out. So I'll probably go crashing into the ground, but I'm going out. Going to have some fun. Got to get my training in. So what I've decided is I'm going to do sort of every other week and do a long ride up to 7 or 8 hours before the Ultra. And then on the off weeks, I'm going to do long runs. So we'll see ya. Bye.
And now for our featured interview.
All right, so now we're recording.
Awesome.
Sarah Stanley of SarahStanleyInspired.com. Sarah. You're a we talked a little bit before, but you're a crazy person from our Twitter world who's a ultra marathoner and all sorts of other stuff too. So give us the 100 words or less on what Sarah is and what Sarah does.
Well, 100 words or less is going to be a little bit of a challenge, but I will try my best.
Well, maybe in your case 200 words.
200 words. Yay, thank God, bonuses. Sarah Stanley is a very unique girl. I have been an athlete and an entrepreneur all my life, and the main factors, I guess, in my life have really been athletics and starting creative companies, always kind of thinking outside the box, and the two things that kind of run my life, no pun intended, are two quotes, and these quotes I kind of came up with at a very early age, and the first one is, how can my life be a blessing to someone, somehow, some way, somewhere. and I try to live that on a daily basis. And the second one is whatever I do affects somebody else. So with those two main quotes in my daily life, I really try to center everything I do around other people. And perfect example being is when I am training or racing ultras, I try to bring my BlackBerry along and basically live feed everything that I'm experiencing so people can actually see and read about the real deal. I kind of call myself the real girl, and whatever I say, you can better believe that I'm going to back it up with my actions, and that is, you know, kind of how I live my life. So,
hey, so I remember you just ran a 50-miler a couple of weeks back, right? A 50-mile race?
That is, yes. That
and
is
I cool. remember I was sitting, because I think it was like on a Saturday or Sunday, and
yep,
I was sitting,
yep.
Yeah, I was sitting on my computer, you know, having my coffee, cleaning stuff up, and your tweet started coming across like, hey, I'm at the 40-mile mark, you know, sort of. It was kind of fun because you were so nonchalant about what was going on. And, you know, I've run a 50-mile race. It's not something that you're necessarily nonchalant about, the mortal among us. And I see you're training for the Lean Horse 100-miler.
I am.
Big gig.
Yes, I am.
Is this your first 100?
This will be my first 100. I am definitely deep in training. It's exactly 2 months from today, August 22nd. I'm extremely excited about it. Training is definitely hardcore. This past weekend, I ran 26.2 miles just as a training run. So no T-shirt, no music, no aid stations, strictly a marathon for the training purposes of it. So that was definitely an experience.
Well, you gotta do some night training too, right? You got to get your headlamp on and... Because 100
exactly.
miles is going to take you 24 hours, right?
Yes, it is. It is predicted that I will finish in less than 24, but it's definitely going to be probably a good 10 hours in the dark, yes.
Yeah, and people who don't know ultras, you have to really, you know, for someone like you who's an athlete, who's used to running, you know, 7-minute miles or 8-minute miles or whatever, you really have to learn how to pace yourself to the extent where you're slowing down to an 11-minute mile. And you're working in the, you know, the power walks and the aid stations and everything, right?
Absolutely, yep. That's I have an ultra training coach, and that's what we're working on now to, you know, include some very high-powered walk breaks so that way when I'm at mile 80, 90, I can, you know, still be walking very fast and, you know, passing people that have not learned that concept. So.
Yep, it's the old ultra joke is think you're going too slow, slow down. That's
exactly.
Yeah. So what else are you working on?
I am working on a bunch of really cool projects. SarahStanleyInspired.com. I definitely encourage you to check it out. I am on a bunch of different missions, and a couple of them I will elaborate a little bit on them is really to get the world to change the way we think about our life. And point being is, you know, we're so focused on thinking about ourselves and how things can benefit our life, but we're not really focused on other people. And people, you know, ask me all the time, like, you know, how do you do what you do? How come you're so happy, et cetera, et cetera? And, you know, I really had to kind of stop and think about it. And then after I was on a run probably or a bike ride, and I was, you know, I'm definitely a deep thinker, and I was thinking about things, and I was like, you know what, all my life I've really just have always been focused on, you know, on others. So really what I do, and, you know, going back to the beginning of our conversation, you know, whatever I do affects somebody else, and if we can get the world to really think about, you know, whatever I do, be it, you know, going to the grocery store or, you know, picking my kids up from school or, you know, running this race, that our focus really be on how does this impact somebody else, just not ourselves. And, you know, it's very easy to get caught up in, you know, getting the latest car or, you know, getting that next job promotion or, you know, retiring, you know, 10 years early. And that's not really the way that we should live our lives. We should live our lives to the fullest extent until we take our very last breath, instead of always having, you know, short-term goals of, you know, that job promotion or your retirement or, you know, the weekend or, you know, Friday happy hour. Really let your life be a full-time goal of helping others. And when you kind of change your perspective, and get it from yourself onto somebody else, you're going to find that you're actually a lot happier with life, and you're going to feel more satisfied because you're doing something to impact somebody else's life.
So how does what you're doing with the altars and all this crazy endurance stuff that you do, how does that tie into this sort of active social empathy that you're prescribing here?
Because I consider myself the real girl, the real deal, and I am using my life as a platform to inspire others in whatever capacity that may be. So if I can go out and, you know, put myself through a 100-miler pain and the training and everything that, you know, requires, then somebody else can, you know, use my life as an example and say, hey, if this girl can go out and do it and, you know, train in, you know, those physical conditions and, you know, race in, you know, the middle of the desert, in the middle of the summer with hot heat, humidity, hills, bears, whatever, then I can, you know, definitely, you know, do something with my life and, you know, use whatever I have for, you know, somebody else. And
So really, you're demonstrating that you need to dream big and not be bound by convention.
Exactly. Yeah. Never set limitations on yourself. You know, it's always good to have goals, but, you know, make those goals, you know, worthwhile and, you know, really go after them. Don't make them, you know, short term. Like, you know, I'm going to, you know, run a 5K. Well, run a 5K every year. Or, you know, I'm going to eat healthy, but I'm going to eat healthy for the rest of my life. Really make it a life-term commitment, and just not a two-week goal or a six-month goal or a year goal, because then you're going to go right back into square one, and you're always going to feel like you're going around in circles, and you're never going to be successful. So always set yourself up for success by committing yourself to always having long-term lifetime goals versus short-term lifetime goals, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. And dream big, right?
Yeah, always dream big, yep. And, you know, don't let other people tell you that you can't do something. And if they tell you that you can't do something, go prove them wrong. I have done that with my life. It's funny because I was a consultant to a PR firm, and the owner said, you know, you're really not a good writer. I really don't like how you're doing things. And I said, okay, that's fine. And then just two weeks ago, a major PR company told me that I am like a brilliant writer and you really have a way with words and you're, you know, really good at what you do. And I'm not even trying to be like a PR writer. That's not my thing. It's just writing from my experiences and things like that. But yeah. it was really funny that, you know, here's the top PR company, you know, basically in the world telling me that you're fantastic, whereas this other company just told me a couple years ago that you really suck. And I proved them wrong. Of course, I'm not going to go back to them and say that, but that is an example of, you know, if somebody says you can't do something, go and do it. And another perfect example of that is I have Addison's disease, and I really don't talk a lot about this condition because I don't use things that are in your life that can kind of be tough as an excuse. I just go on with it. But if you Google Addison's disease, it's, in a nutshell, autoimmune disease. It's actually pretty serious. You can, you know, pass out, die really at any time. It's an autoimmune condition as well. And I train 90% of the time being sick. And
I Googled it. It says this disease is characterized by weight loss, muscle weakness, fatigue, low blood pressure, and all sorts of bad stuff. So how do you become a you must be on some medication, right?
Actually, I am not on medication. That will be changing in the next couple of months, probably before my 100-miler. I have been blessed to be able to just kind of struggle through it, but with the amount of miles I have per week, it's probably going to become impossible to train without it. But, you know, people kind of look at me like I'm a superwoman. And you know what? I'm just like everybody else. I have this, you know, disease or this illness. and I don't let that get me down. There are days where I cannot keep any food down, and it's very hard for me to get out and train. I'll have to, modify my plan, but I don't let that stop me from reaching my goal. So, the real deal. If I'm sick, I'm still going to, plow through it, and it may not be possible 100% of the time, but I definitely try to, train as much as I can.
One of the things I took away from running ultras that I really like, because it just simplifies life to a really fine point, which is just keep moving forward. Because you get to the point in an ultra where you have a really low, you have really high highs, too. It's like a marathon multiplied by 10, the emotional swings.
Yep.
And you get to those lows, and really it just all boils down to a fine point, which is just keep moving forward. And I think sometimes you get that way in life, too, where everything's sort of out of your control, and you just say, okay, just keep moving forward.
Exactly. You have one foot in front of the other. There's, some, famous quotes, crawl if you have to, but, never stop. And, you might, shed some tears along the way, but if you are so focused on that finish line and you don't let anything come in your way of, stopping you from getting there, then you can do it. Half of training and, all of life and, racing, ultras, marathons, whatever, is really all, it's mental. And if you can tell yourself, I can do it no matter what, you've won the battle. And if you are determined, okay, I'm going to do whatever it takes. If I have to crawl to that finish line, then I will. You will do it. And you really have to, think positive, believe in yourself, all that mind, body, soul, spirit stuff. But it really does work. If you can, kind of switch gears and say, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get to that line, then you've just won the race because you've already committed yourself to finishing, to winning in the, race, and you've, kind of won the battle, just like in life. No matter, what comes your way, you can, absolutely overcome it and, make it through. And, there's many different, equations in life that we can use, running and exercise and, ultras and other things. So it's very...
So I had a question for you, Sarah.
Sure.
Now, you're a young woman, a relative young woman, compared to me anyhow, much more of a woman and much younger than me. But when I'm out in these ultra courses and these long trail races, there's not a lot of young women out there. I would say it's 95% 40-plus-year-old guys. So
yeah.
Do you think there's, just like there was with marathons maybe 10 years ago where there was a big wave of female entries to bring it up to parity, are we going to see the same thing in ultras?
I've kind of wondered the same thing. I think that actually with what I'm doing, I do have a few, girlfriends around my age saying, hey, I may take on a 50K or, something like that. It may be more competitive the next couple of years, next 10 years. I definitely think that is possible. And with, my visible role out in the world of doing what I'm doing, I think it's a very high likelihood that younger women, will get in the game.
Yeah, because there's no reason why they can't.
No, absolutely not. Nope.
The one thing that ultras I thought were easier than training for a competitive marathon because you're going so much slower. I mean, they're easier in the sense it takes a lot longer and there's a lot of highs and lows and a lot of pain, but in terms of the intensity of the training, it's just a lot of time on your feet.
It's a lot of time on your feet, and the plus side to running ultras is that they are mainly on trails, and trail surfaces are so different on the body than blacktop and concrete. And I'll just give a quick little shout out not to run on concrete. you're gonna kill your body. Stick to, stick to blacktop. If you're in your neighborhood, run against traffic, run towards traffic, but that's really gonna save your body. But I'll get back to the trail. Trail surfaces are just so much easier on the body. I've been prone with injuries, and last year was not a good year for running for me, and I came back December 31st of this year, and I guess January 1st to today, I have almost 800 miles, and most of those, and the majority of those miles are really running 4 days a week, but strictly on trails. Now, in the next, again, in the next 10 weeks, I will actually probably double those miles. I'll probably be doing 700 in the next 10 weeks. But trail surfaces really, really lessen the impact on your body. So if you can, you know, find a trail, any dirt surface, it really will save your body and your joints. And I really, truly believe that is why I feel the way I do. I don't feel the impact. And when I, you know, switch over to running with friends on blacktop, my body definitely feels it.
Yeah, so, you're absolutely right. And somebody asked that question last week or the week before. They said, you know, can you train on trails for a road race? Or vice versa, and I do all my training on the trails now, just because, like you said, it's easier on the body with the same effort level. And then if you want to go run a road marathon, you just do your fine-tuning on the road. You do a couple of long road races to get your legs used to the hot top again, and you're
yep.
fine. But you can definitely do all your training in the woods. I do.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say, yeah, I train, I guess, January, February, and March and for 55K, and it was a pretty, you know, tough 35-miler, I guess, and 2 weeks later, I PR'd for Boston Marathon.
Yep.
So, and that marathon was, you know, it was flat, but it was all on blacktop, and that was my PR marathon. I was kind of shocked.
Yeah.
And
I bet you weren't even trying that hard.
And exactly. I really just went out there to fun run it, and I surprised myself with coming in for a Boston qualifier, and I was definitely very excited. But definitely, definitely run on trails if you can at all possibly do it.
Yep. I did the same thing last year after a 50-miler. I jumped into a marathon and ran a Boston qualifier, too. So
awesome. Awesome. That's great.
Big believer in the trail, especially for us older folks, not you young folks. But so so you got an opportunity here. We were talking about you're saying you're looking for somebody to share these trails with you now. You're single now?
I am single, yes. Single, and although I'm extremely happy with my life, I definitely would love to share my ultra passion with somebody else. I always need some kind of support after my ultras. So there's always that little caveat of having race support after the race. So
that's an interesting question, because my wife has never run with me. It's always like, you know, this disease I have that she puts up with. But, you know, if you would it be good to have somebody who actually did it with you, or somebody who is like your built-in support crew?
This is what I would say. I would say that somebody that doesn't necessarily have to be an ultra person, but understands where I am coming from on an athletic level, who wants to not only, you know, be active and be healthy, but to be that support person as well. I think that's very, very crucial. You know, there's a fine line between being somebody who, you know, wants to be active and healthy and to somebody who just wants to sit on the couch. I am definitely not looking forward to anybody that wants to sit on the couch and go through life. Okay, that's life. Great. They want to do something with their life. They want to be, you know, passionate about life. They want to help others. And in return, they, you know, want to support me and my mission and my love of running and really inspiring other people. If I can't inspire somebody who is with me, then I really don't see a need for, you know, being together. That's kind of how I see it.
Well, that's it. So anybody who's interested in that job, you can reach out to Sarah.
Exactly, yes.
At SarahStanleyInspired.com. Get your newsletter and your blog there too, right? And some videos.
That's right, yep, videos.
Hey, it's just like a dating service. See, you get the videos out here, you can watch the videos.
Exactly. If you want a little bio, it's already right on the website.
So there you go. So is there a particular specific charity that you're doing this stuff for?
It really is my own charity.
Just your own, get people up and inspired.
Exactly. It's a charity that is about others. Some of the money that I will be raising will go to help other charities that I find that, you know, need help, and I can be kind of a spokesperson for them. But, you know, I'm always looking for support for, you know, what I'm doing, because I help a variety of people, and I can only, you know, do so much. And in order for my mission to grow and to spread, I, you know, definitely need the support of others. So, yes, I am a nonprofit. I am a charity, and I, you know, passionately believe in what I'm doing and, you know, changing and challenging the world to, you know, do something with their individual lives.
All right. Well, I think we're running out of time, so I'm going to let you go. But what do we want to tell people to do? Any call to action?
Any call to action is definitely get a sweat fest going on. Be a blessing. Be a blessing to someone. Love yourself. Do something for yourself. Do something for somebody else, and smile.
Awesome. That's my mantra. Smile.
Smile. Exactly.
All right. Good luck with your training. Let me know how it goes. Stay in touch.
I will. Sounds good. Thanks, Chris.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Here's today's quick tips.
I got an interesting question this week from Clinton in Detroit that made me think of something. He did something where he somehow tore a big hole in his heel and his foot, and he was asking me, what should he do to be able to run with this hole in his foot without irritating the abrasion? And I have a couple of points to make here. One is specific to cuts or tears or toenail problems or anything like that. It usually works if you use tape to protect the affected area. Typically, a Band-Aid or a normal bandage or that sort of thing is just going to come off. And I'm talking about white hockey tape, what we call hockey tape up in the Northeast. It's the cloth kind, not the shiny kind. It's medical tape, but the cloth kind. And here's how you do it. You put some Neosporin or some sort of other antiseptic on if it's an open wound. You put that in there. Then you put some gauze or something, you know, absorptive over that, over the wound. Then you tape over it. And then you spread some lube on the top of the tape so it doesn't rub, preferably something like Aquaphor or Body Glide, you know, but you can use Vaseline if you have to, just so it doesn't rub. And that'll take care, that'll let you actually work out with that wound. And as a broader topic, and you may remember this from your school, you can use tape to support almost any injury. If you remember from school, they used to tape everything, right? Get back in the game. So there's specific wrapping techniques for ankles, knees, hamstrings, Achilles. I remember taping kids' ankles in soccer so they could play on bad ankles on my soccer team that I coach. And they're all available on the internet. There's specific techniques on how to tape. So if you're the type that likes to play wounded, tape it up. Okay, my friends, isn't Sarah great? If I wasn't 100 years old and married with children, but that's another story. Hey, so I have my plan together for this bike ultra, and I just got to get the miles in. This weekend is my running club's hash run. So if you don't know what a hash run is, Google it. But let me just say this. I will be wearing a dress, and Anthony will be wearing a dress, and he'll be drinking whiskey too, so it should get ugly. But I don't promote any of that foolishness, but look up hash runs. You'll see. I'll try to get some video from that. I'm going to close out the Patagonia Release Shoe Contest before the end of the month, and we'll pick the winners and we'll announce them. Thanks for playing. You might still have time. Who knows when this podcast is going to post. Okay, folks, that's it for me. I've got a special treat for you tonight to take us out. Brandon from Brandon's Marathon is not only a marathoner and an Ironman, and really good-looking, too. He's a good-looking guy. I'm jealous. But he's an opera singer. So sit back and enjoy as Brandon tells us about his gig and sings some opera for us. And this is called Salut, Demure, Chaste et Pure. And I believe that means, hi, demure, chaste, and pure. So we will see you out there.
Brandon's Marathon.
Brandon's Marathon.
This is Brandon from brandonsmarathon.com. I really hope you guys will swing on over to the site and check out all there is to see there. There are many links to your favorite podcasts and blogs, as well as tips and tricks on triathlons, swimming, biking, individual events such as 5Ks, 10Ks, marathons, you name it. This is brandonsmarathon.com. Please swing on over there and give it a check out. And remember, keep putting one foot in front of the other.
Quel trouble qu'on y me pénètre.
Thanks for listening to the Run, Run, Live podcast. Comments and suggestions can be made on our listener comment line at 206-339-7804 or via email at chrisrunner@runrunlive.com. That's our website. Go to the website, check it out for articles and my blog and other great stuff. If you would like to be on the show, or have a suggestion as someone you would like me to have on the show, drop me a line, and I will see you out there.
Run, Run, Live, the podcast for all your running needs.